Welcome to Teenage Dirtbags Podcast. We are a podcast that rates and reviews teen movies, and we relate them to our own teenage lives, and we are in the middle of Halloween, and it is the best time of the year, in my opinion. And I'm Maddie.
I am Carly Jacqueline Smale.
I'm Madeline Jane Zeku, and or Hallis, if you prefer, if you're nasty.
if you're nasty.
If you're nasty. I honestly, today have... It's funny. I have zero energy, but I also have the most energy. It's very confusing.
I kind of feel the same way. I had class all day, and I'm like Zoom fatigued to the extreme. But now I'm talking to you, and I'm kind of like, I got that little energy, a little burst of energy back.
Truly. So, I mean, I won't get into the movie yet, obviously, but while I was watching this movie, I was falling asleep. Not because of the movie, because of... I was falling asleep. I was fucking tired. And then pressing record, similarly to you, pressing record, I'm like, boom, bada bing. It's a freaking Friday morning. It's not. That's what I'm saying. It feels like. It's not Friday morning. It feels like I just woke up and I'm like, woo! But it's actually 2:30 on a Tuesday.
I also think that part of the reason why you fell asleep is because your experience watching the movie was not ideal.
Oh, God. Well, I'll get into that. I will get into that when we start talking about this movie. Don't worry. That's half my fucking notes. But anyway, what do you have to preface? What's going on in your life?
Okay. I have a movie coming out this Saturday. And
so this is, well, this is coming out October 22nd, this episode.
Yes.
And your movie comes out on the 24th.
Correct. So I have no idea how you are able to watch it if you're Canadian or if you live in the UK. They never tell me. It always just appears on TV, and then someone will text me being like, your movie's on TV, and I'm like, great. But if you're in the States or if you have the Lifetime channel, it's on this Saturday at 8 o'clock, and it's called Christmas Unwrapped.
Yes, you wrote it?
Well, yes, this is a movie I wrote in your basement, start to finish.
it was your basement at the time, too, our basement.
Yeah, basically what happened is this production company called me, and they were like, we have this movie, we like the concept, but we need a rewrite. So I rewrote the movie, basically, from start to finish, and... Yeah, that's what Christmas Unwrapped is. And the other thing is they said, can you do this in 2 weeks? And so that was a time where I probably said to you and Mike, I am going to be like a vampire for the next 2 weeks. And you probably won't see me very often because I'm just going to be attached to my computer.
I love it. Yeah, I kind of remember that. I don't know if I remember specifically you saying that, but I do remember there was a movie that you were writing at some point that was a very tight deadline.
This was probably it.
Yeah, I remember that. But at the same time, I feel like every time... Sorry, there was a very strange, concerning Halloween spooky noise happening near me. Oh. But anyway, I don't think anything... Maybe the iPad picked it up. It would be really... And it's like a ghost, and they're like, ooh, Christmas Unwrapped. well, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, I feel like every time I speak to you, or when you lived here, you were always rewriting or writing movie, whether it was your own or for, you know, you were being paid. What am I trying to say?
Like, hired. You've been
booked, hired. Thank you. Fuck me. Oh, Jesus. Maybe I am still asleep. Maybe this energy thing is incorrect. Maybe it's all an illusion.
That's okay. But yeah, that's my biggest preface. I think it's a cute movie. I've seen it. I think it's pretty cute. The lead actress in it is so good. I think she's so good in it. And what can I say? I think this time of year, people just need a little a little cheer. And not this time of year. I'm sorry. This whole year.
2020. People need Christmas movies every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. And yes. You know what's fucked up and crazy is the fact that we're talking about Christmas. Like,
yeah.
I'm not judging it. I'm accepting. I'm so excited. But it's just so crazy to me that we have somehow, and by we, I mean yourself and myself and the world, have survived this literal garbage fire of a year.
What's up with you? What's new with you?
Not all that much. I'm trying to think of what happened this weekend, but nothing much. But I do have a preface for the both of us. And that is, so you have a movie coming out on October 24th, which is Saturday. And we were guests on a podcast.
Yes.
That comes out October 25th, which is Sunday. So this weekend is quite big. Well, mostly for you because you have two things, but I have one thing. And this was our first time ever being guests on someone else's podcast, and the podcast is called OCD Podcast. It's the ongoing comic book discussion podcast, and we got to review the Addams Family, the 1998 Addams Family reunion starring Tim Curry and other people who I don't remember right now. And anyway, the episode comes out this weekend on Sunday, October 25th. Everyone should go listen to it. And the funniest part, I think, is going to be how the host of the podcast, Tess, and you, Carly, make fun of me the whole time because I chose the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never seen The Addams Family, so I just picked a random one.
Yeah.
I just picked, oh, this one, sure, 1998, great. And you guys are like, this is shit. The whole time.
Well,
but anyway,
in your defense, I think the original, like the one with Christina Ricci and like Angelica Houston, I think that she'd already reviewed it with someone else.
That's very nice of you to say, but I'm pretty sure she gave us the options
what?
Of all of them, and then I just picked the 98 one.
Okay, well now I'm upset.
But anyway, so what Tess is doing on that podcast, I won't get too much into it because you should just go check it out. But she, like a fucking crazy person, is doing an episode a day in October.
I know. That's
and
wild.
She's doing 31 days. It's insane. And she's doing 31 days of horror on her podcast, OCD Podcast. And I don't know how she's doing it, but she is doing it. It's wild.
I want to tell you something. I just emailed you something that I think that you should read because it's pretty funny. It's this clip. Well, not clip. It's a screenshot from the original Addams Family script. And remember how we were talking about how Morticia and Gomez are like so sexual with each other?
Yes.
I want you to read the description that's in the script. I don't know if this is real, but it's so funny, and I can't read it because I'm too self-conscious of saying it out loud.
This is not...
Just read it.
Okay. So, this is all still within our prefaces for this weekend's releases.
That's fine.
No, it's great. It's perfect. I love it. So, the script... You just want me to read the paragraph part, not the whole...
Yeah, like Morticia and Gomez have a little bit of dialogue, and then it goes into a paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, and this is the paragraph.
Yeah.
It says, okay, Gomez quick... Sorry. What one is this from? This is from the original movie?
1991.
There's words in this that cannot be for kids. But anyway, okay, it's just the script, I guess. It's just a description. So it says, Gomez quickly moves to her bedside. Her being Morticia, I would imagine. Then it says, writer's note, we should get the sense, as much as humanly possible, that all this couple does is fuck each other. Their only want on this earth is to fuck, and they do. I understand this is intended to be a kid's movie. Oh, there you go. I understand this is intended to be a kid's movie, but I cannot stress enough the importance of these two consistently teeming with, frankly, demonic levels of horniness for one another. If we cannot agree on this, I walk. But you should know, I've already spent the money. I hope that that's real. Not even just for like the vulgarity of it, but the fact that the writer is just like, if this doesn't happen, I'm you f- go fuck yourself.
I know. Like, who writes that in a children's movie script?
That's hilarious. That's very funny. Well, there you go. I hope you've all watched some form of Addams Family, because I guess I missed out as a kid. I must have seen it at some point. I don't know. But anyway, listen to this episode, or to this week's episode. No, I'm sorry. It's not even this week's episode. It's the one day, because she's got one every fucking day like a crazy person.
Yeah.
October 25th, we are on OCD Podcast. You can download it all over the place.
Yeah, it was fun. Tess is really cool, and it was super a fun experience. But I'm actually sad for you, Maddie, because I genuinely think that if you watched this as a kid, you would have been obsessed. 1991 version.
Yeah, it's probably true. I don't know. It's not like I wasn't aware of who the Addams Family is. I still know all, like, I knew who Cousin It was and Lurch. Right. In fact, Kirsty, one of my best friends who listens to this podcast, I talk about her all the time. My nickname for her is Lurch. I'm not going to go into why, but
wow.
I think it was that she was, I took a picture of her once and she just looked hunchback. So I called her Lurch. How is she my friend still? Oh my God. I'm just
the story was just like, well, it's because she does have a hunchback, a chronic issue with her back.
Not at all. There's literally just this one picture. I remember it now. I took a picture of her. We were at Peggy's Cove. This is so stupid, but whatever. Peggy's Cove in Halifax, where she lives. Let me just give all of her personal information.
What's her
address? We were at Peggy's Cove, and she just, like, it's far away. Anyway, I took a picture of her, and she just looks like a hunchback, so I called her Lurch. And ever since that day, that was probably like 10 years ago, and ever since then, I have always called her Lurch. I everything I write to her is Lurch.
Really?
Lurchy. Aww. Everything. Anyway, the more you know. Right. Should we get into this shit?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. So, this week, we're reviewing Disturbing Behavior. It is a movie that is disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And Carly will do her little introduction facts and trivia and what have you.
Okay. Disturbing Behavior premiered July 24th, 1998, and it was rated R. The director was David Nutter, and it was written by Scott Rosenberg. I knew you were going to laugh at Nutter.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah, continue.
I looked at you waiting for the reaction.
You did.
Starring Katie Holmes, James Marsden, and Nick Stahl. The logline is, the new kid in Cradle Bay stumbles across something sinister about the town's method of transforming its unruly teens into upstanding citizens.
I mean, I would not call the teens what they turn into. I would not call them upstanding citizens in any way.
Right. But that's sort of like what they were hoping for.
But I
for.
See what they're saying. Right. I get the point. But I would say preppy, I don't know. I would call something else because they were not upstanding citizens. But anyway.
Yeah. Till we know, Steve is James Marsden, Rachel is Katie Holmes.
Good. Thank you for doing that, because as we all know, we're unable to ever get
remember
the names. Do you have trivia about it? Sorry.
No, there's no trivia. All the trivia was so boring. It was like, this movie went through 7 drafts of the script. I'm like, no one cares.
No one cares. Why would they tell us that? Had you seen it before?
No, never. I had heard of it, but never seen it. What about you?
I had never seen it. I don't think I had heard of it, but watching it this time around, every like still image of Katie Holmes, I recognized.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, well, maybe not every, but there were a lot, especially at the end when her like mascara is running. It was an immediate image that I recognized, as 90s Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but I had never seen it, and I would consider myself still not having seen it properly.
Great. Can't wait to review it with you.
Oh, honestly, everyone just turn this episode off because let me just say before we get into it, and I'll explain myself. I shockingly, sorry government, had to stream this movie because I don't own it. And it wasn't on any form of streaming service that I have paid for. So I had to stream it illegally, and it was hell on earth. It was absolute hell. It, every minute and a half, it stopped to buffer. So then I would pause it, and then I'm not kidding, I would fall asleep for a little bit. Like, I would just be like, I'm just gonna lay my head down for 2 minutes, and I'd wake up, or like come back to full consciousness, and I'd be like, oh, I'll press play, and it would maybe run for 30 seconds. And I was like, oh my God. So this movie took me, it's an hour, I think without credits, it's an hour and 17 minutes or something. Wow. And it took me, oh God, at least 3 hours to watch it.
What a waste of existence. I finally,
oh my Christ. So I watched it just to be really detailed. I'm sure no one gives a shit, but that's too bad. You're listening to our podcast, so that's your own fault. I watched it on the TV first. Like, I was streaming it on our Fire thingy, whatever it's called. And then eventually I gave up and went to my computer and went upstairs and was doing other stuff, like cooking or whatever. By that time, it was better. However, by that time, I didn't know what the fuck was going on anyway. So I just watched it, not knowing really. The beginning, I have quite a lot of notes at the beginning. Okay. Because I was very invested, but then it honestly, you're going to have to take the lead on the plot line because I couldn't follow it to save my life.
All right, well, that was a long-winded story, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, you can go and suck a dick. I should take that out.
I don't want you to. Holy!
Okay, fine.
Have you...
Oh,
I've never seen a water bottle so big in my life. It is literally as big as your dresser behind you. Oh,
okay, sorry. I don't want to, well, not to ruin my weekly obsession or my weekly crush, rather. Sorry, guys, if you wanted to hear about the movie. I really wanted a water bottle recently.
Apparently.
And I said to my mom, I want it to be obnoxious. But we couldn't, I looked on Amazon and there were big ones, but like they were like $30 and they weren't even as big as I wanted. And I'm like, nah. Anyway, we go to Winners. I find this water bottle. I was with my mom, which is why I brought her up. And she comes running through the aisles holding this water bottle. She's like, look what I found. Is this obnoxious enough? I'm not shitting you. Everybody, I'll take a picture of it because it's my weekly crush this week. Spoiler alert. It is 1 gallon. It's literally 1 gallon.
It's huge.
Anyway, so I was going to reveal at the end, but I forgot. And then I was thirsty just now and Carly caught me on the camera drinking from it. But it's huge. I've never finished it. It just sits in areas of our house. And like Mike will drink from it. I will drink from it. Like we'll just, I know, it's disgusting.
So can you even hold it when it's full?
No. I can't, it's, so, this is, never mind, I'll make a short story of it, I promise. When I was at work, we have, because of COVID, there's a bunch of different little things that we have to do, or whatever, and one of them is that we have a kitchen at work where you get the water from, and there's a girl who works in the kitchen, and like, because of COVID, everything is sanitized, and it's one person. Yeah. Is allowed in the kitchen, she gets everything for you. Anyway, I walked up to her with this water bottle. I said, can you fill it up, please?
That's hilarious.
And it's like those little like work coolers that like there's a little stream, and she literally was like, I fucking hate you. I was like, you do not need to fill up the whole thing. I won't finish it. Anyway, let's move on. So wow. The movie.
That's,
let's go.
That was so unexpected.
I know, right? What's your first note, bitch?
Okay, the opening scene, we have a character named Gavin who's a stoner, slacker, skater kid, okay? He's wandering the streets at night and he sees a car parked below that has two preppy teens inside. Actually, no, only one is preppy, the guy, the man, the teen boy. And he's with a sort of promiscuous girl. And they're kissing. Yes. And things are getting...
In the back of a car.
Yes. Well, it's the front, but anyway. Yeah.
Well, I just mean like the typical like making out in the car at the lookout point or whatever.
Oh, and it was playing that song that I used to love. You know, it goes, got you where I want you.
Yes.
Anyways.
I do. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
And anyways, he's very preppy and he keeps being like, no, I can't be doing this. Because she wants to go further than just kissing, if you know what I mean. And so he's like, yes. no, I can't. And she's like, why? And he's like, I need to keep my fluids, which I was like, ew, but okay. And then she's like, forget that. So she like climbs on top of him and then she starts giving him a BJ. Now, he seems to be enjoying this, but then something demonic happens to his eyeballs and he's like, ah! And something snaps in his brain that makes him go a little crazy, and he grabs her head and snaps it and kills her.
Right.
So...
Correct.
Then these cops come, and they're, like, very confused at what's happening, and this teen boy shoots a cop, and then the other cop is like, just go home, it's fine, or something. And...
It's insane.
It's insane, but... and it's confusing. But we get the idea that... Something odd is happening to this, right now it's just this boy. He seems to have gotten possessed for a moment. And Gavin has seen it.
He has witnessed the whole thing.
Yes. So I would say for a teen sort of horror movie, I think that it was an intriguing opening scene.
I agree. I think that, I mean, right away I wrote, my first note is immediately this is the most iconic 2000 movie ever. Or it's not even 2000s, but, you know, the general 90s, early 2000s. Because of the song playing, because of the making out at Lookout Point in the back of the car or whatever. And even the, I mean, it's quite dark, obviously, like physically dark. But the... girl, the style of the girl is very 90, you know, everything is just very iconic. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that I need my fluids line, I literally was like, that is not the fucking third line of the movie. Ew.
Well, then
gross,
he breaks her neck and she dies, and then he goes, I told you I needed my fluids.
Yeah, it's I quite honestly I was like, I think it was a very good opening scene for what it is, but that whole fluid thing just made me be like, why are they talking about this? I don't think that's required, but
yes,
anyway,
it was an odd line of dialogue. I'm not going to lie. I can't imagine writing that line.
No. And then the fact that the cop, he kills a cop. I don't know where he got the gun from. I missed that. It's probably paused.
I think he just stole it from his like side or whatever.
Holster or whatever. So he has a gun suddenly, and like you said, he shoots the other cop and kills him. And so now the cop has the second cop has walked in on with his partner, the two cops have walked in, seen this boy having killed a girl, and then he witnesses him kill his partner, and then he just goes, hurry, run or whatever. Yeah. Like, you're fine, just go. Which I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. But anyway, there you go. That's the opening scene. It's quite good. I don't know. There you go.
And then we've got James Marsden. He is new to town with his parents and his sister. And...
Yes.
He's very sad and angsty because he had a brother who died. Who... Did you notice...
Is there... What...
Did you notice that it was Ethan Embry, the brother in the flashbacks?
Yes. I didn't know... I couldn't pinpoint the name. But yes, I was like, that guy's familiar. What's he from? But yes, you're right. It is Ethan. Yeah, now that you say that. But this is the thing. Okay, so James Marsden, as we said, plays a guy named Steve. I could give a shit what his sister's name is. It's not relevant. I don't really understand. So my first note about James Marsden, the actor, is how the fuck does he look the exact same? And how does in every single movie... Similarly to last week's Lily Sobieski, he has the same haircut, not only in real life, but in every single movie. And I have to say, I mean, I think that the hair and makeup people of the world, of the industry, deserve, they're great. They're fantastic. I'm just a little confused as to why they chose to keep this haircut for this role, because I think James Marsden has the ability to be an angsty teen, but the look of him does not portray that.
I like his look. I like his look because it's like, he's just casual, just wears jeans and like...
Yes, I think he can be casual and stuff, but the haircut that he has is very preppy jock.
Sure.
Or maybe it's because every movie he's been in since then and before that and in real life, he's kind of a preppy dude. Like, you know, he just kind of is. And so the fact that it is continued to be that way in this movie...
It threw me off. I think his wardrobe counterbalances the hair, because I thought his wardrobe was on point for, like, a typical alternative 90s teen who, like, isn't a prep but isn't, like, a metalhead. He's just kind of...
Fine. He's just kind of blah. Yeah. His outfits are blah, which is fine, but the hair just was not. But anyway, I want to do a comparison. So future Maddie, remember to do this. I want to do a comparison that every single movie that James Marsden is in from freaking 1990s to now, he has the exact same fucking haircut.
All right. I support that decision.
Okay, great. Thank you.
What do you think?
Anyway, so as we're saying.
What do you think your favorite James Marsden movie is?
Oh, probably X-Men. I really love X-Men.
I forgot he was an X-Men. That's a good answer.
Yeah, I really love X-Men. The first two, yeah. X-Men and X2 are my favorites. What else? What else is he even... I mean, he's in so much. Oh, is he in 27 Dresses?
Yeah. Good one.
I haven't seen that movie in fucking ever.
I know, I pestered you. I don't know what else. I pestered you for weeks about watching it before your wedding. But...
I wanted to. I wasn't against it. It just didn't happen. Busy. Oh, fuck off. Oh, planning a wedding. Oh. What's your favorite James Marsden movie?
I don't know.
Movie?
X-Men's a good answer, but maybe The Notebook? I don't know.
Oh, my God. See, that's the thing. He's one of those people who I just forget is in... He's been so... Yeah. Like, I bet you if you looked at his filmography, it's going to be like 150 movies.
You're probably right.
And you just...
Honestly...
He's in
a... You're probably right. Okay, so... Then we meet Katie Holmes. Well, first of all, Steve becomes friends with Gavin, the same guy who witnessed the craziness from the opening scene.
Right.
Oh, he's also in Ella Enchanted and Hairspray. He's amazing.
Is it Ella Enchanted or is it Enchanted?
Oh, just Enchanted.
Okay, sorry. Because I was going to say Enchant. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not sure. Ella Enchanted, however, is a fucking great fucking movie. It's so horrible. But good Lord.
Well, guess who wrote it? Watch your tongue.
Hey, I loved the book. Oh, I loved the book.
Oh, I didn't know it was a book, but Kiwi and Karen wrote the script.
No. And I wasn't talking about the writing, first of all, because when I read the book, I loved the book, and then I was so excited when it became a movie. But I'm talking about specifically in Ella Enchanted, Anne Hathaway's character, Ella, is miniature. Like, she is a little gnome or something at some point. She gets... shrunk or some shit, or maybe she's with giants, I don't remember. Anyway, but she sings Queen's Somebody to Love, like at a karaoke thing, and it is the weirdest scene ever. It's fantastic. Anyway, go ahead.
Never seen it.
Continue.
But now
you've never fucking seen it?
No.
Oh my God.
It's with Anne Hathaway, right?
It's just... Yeah, I just fucking said Anne Hathaway.
Sorry.
Thanks for listening.
But then the other one's with Amy Adams.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so Katie Holmes comes into the movie, and it's actually hilarious. She's so angsty. She's wearing... Well, first of all, we don't even meet her with her face. We meet her butt first. She's bent over in the back of her truck wearing leather pants, and then she eventually stands up, I said.
Right.
And she looks around, and she is just... I don't even know how to describe it. The dark eyeliner, the hair.
She's perfect.
Yeah.
She's like, if I had seen this movie when I was a teenager or like a preteen, I guarantee you 100% I would have put a lot more effort into looking just like her. Like, she's in this like rusty truck, like the typical, like, you know, truck with like a big bed that every teen
wants.
And the outfit. Yeah. Attitude. She has a fucking nose ring. She says a sentence because Gavin's her friend, and Gavin's like, "You want to go to the fucking whatever? Let's do this." And she goes, "Sounds razor."
Which, what did she say?
That line, she says, sounds razor, like, sounds good. But the line is so fucking, like, alternative yeah. 90s, sounds razor. I was like, Jesus Christ.
She also had, like, no effects stickers on her truck, which I thought was perfect.
Oh, my God. Honestly, if I had a truck when I was in high school, it would have been covered in stickers, band stickers. Can I say something about no effects for a moment, please? This is how fucking lame I was in high school. I may have said this in a previous episode. Excuse me. In a previous episode, I'm not sure. I likely have. So I, in high school, when we transferred to high school from middle school, there was this guy who was like serious punk. Like he was covered in tattoos. He like pierced his eyeballs in his class and had a shaved head, mohawk, like all this stuff. He was great. He was cool, right? So I was friends with him. Friendly. We didn't hang out or anything, but we were friendly. And we had an argument, a friendly argument one day. I think he kind of like dealt with me. Like he like tolerated me.
That's how I feel.
And he one day was like, we had an argument over who was more hardcore. Okay. No effects was, that was his stance. No effects was more hardcore or yellow card. Yellow card was my stance. And I remember I wasn't being fucking funny. Like, I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I had an argument with this fucking guy about who was more hardcore. And I remember, like, I have this image of him just, like, chuckling at me being like, okay. Like, I feel like he just was like, okay, you're right.
I know. Like, in retrospect, Yellow Card is, like, a pop band.
What do you mean in retrospect? Yes, like, they still are, and they were, and they will remain that forever. Like, anyway, it was it's embarrassing to talk about now, but at the time, and I remember I remember that day being like, going to other people and being like, "What do you think? No effects or yellow card?" And everyone was like, "This Maddie is a little bit off her rocker." I think everyone just tolerated me enough and was like, "Yeah, maybe yellow card. You're probably right." Anyway,
see, that was the good thing about having two older brothers is because I knew what was actually cool versus what I was, like, listening to. So if I was listening to Yellow Card, my brothers were listening to, like, Deftones.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's cooler.
Right.
So I'm not going to brag about Yellow Card, but I did love Yellow Card.
I loved Yellow Card. And that's a whole other story, for sure.
I would have never admitted to my brothers that I bought, like, an All American Rejects CD, for example.
All American Rejects.
Because that would have been really lame.
The All American Rejects.
I know, they were so great.
First album is possibly still my favorite album ever.
First and second. I could sing them all.
Second as well, but the first one, I know every single word to every single. Like, I love that album. I love that album so much. Anyway, neither of those bands even existed by this point of this movie.
Before we move on from Katie Holmes, I wanted to point out her arm tattoo. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
It was so perfect in every way. I don't even know how to describe it because it's the exact kind of tattoo I would have bought at, like, the dollar store.
It's the armband, like, I don't want to say it's a tribal tattoo, but it's kind of in that sense, because there are those ones that are tribal tattoos, obviously, but it's like,
like, I for sure had that on my arm.
100%.
A fake one. What's it called? Stick on? What is it called?
Temporary tattoo, perhaps?
Yeah.
Can we also, sorry, really quickly, because this is ahead of Katie Holmes' introduction, and then my notes start to taper off, quite frankly. But anyway, Gavin is, when Marsden, James Marsden, what's his fucking name? Steve. Steve starts at the school. He meets Gavin and his friend UV. But anyway, they're showing him around. And of course, the classic scene of them sitting in the cafeteria and talking about all the cliques at the different tables. I just had to point that out. It was such a classic scene. It's very Mean Girls, or rather Mean Girls is like this, because it was much later. Mm-hmm. Well, not that much later, now that I think about it. But anyway, and so Gavin's going, oh, they're the stoners, they're the preppy kids, they're the whatever. And I guess the bell rings or whatever. And he goes, class dismembered and walks away instead of class dismissed. I was just like, fuck. I have to say, there's certain things like Sounds Razor and Class Dismembered that if I had seen this, I guarantee you, if I had seen this in 2002, this would have been my favorite movie and I would have quoted it all day long. 100%.
Even though it came out in 98?
Well, no. Because I wouldn't have done it at 8 years old. I would have done it. Maybe not even 2002, maybe 2003, 4. I would have discovered this movie, told everyone about it, been like, look at this movie I discovered, Class Dismembered. Anyway.
That's very valid. Did you also notice that at one point, one of the characters says, dirtbag alert?
Fuck yeah, I did. Of course I did. I was like,
oh. Forget who said it.
Me too. I don't remember who they said it about. Was it about Gavin?
Me neither. Probably.
Anyway.
But I was like, that should be our, that's how we should end every episode. Or start every episode.
Yeah, dirtbag alert. You know what? I would say that maybe, because, you know, you kind of explained Gavin at the beginning and you were like, he's kind of a stoner, skater, alternative, whatever. He's a dirtbag.
He's a perfect example of a dirtbag.
He's a perfect example of a dirtbag.
Yeah. Well, same with like the Breckenmeyer character from Clueless. Perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. You're right. I have a question for you to answer, because this is where I'm sure it's talked about later on in the episode, or in the episode, in the movie, but I missed it. So Steve has a younger sister, and at some point it's addressed that they have a brother who died. I think his name is Alan or something. As you said, he's played by Ethan Embry, which is great. Why do we care?
We don't really.
Like, why it's is supposed that? To make... I don't get why that's brought up. Like, who cares?
I know. I think it's because it adds a layer to James Marsden's character that makes him... We understand him in a way that's like, we root for him, and we understand why he's kind of sad and kind of grumpy. But ultimately, like, it didn't really add that much to the movie.
Yeah, I just don't understand every teenager can be... Not every teenager, obviously, but the fact that a teenager is grumpy and moody and angsty, you can just be like, oh, why? It's because he's a fucking teenager, so that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, most movies that are kind of melodramatic. Yeah. They always have, like, a family member who has died.
Yeah,
I've written a few.
Fair. Fair enough.
I don't know. It just adds, I guess, a little something, but... All right. Moving along here. So, Steve, Rachel, Gavin, and this other guy who's albino, they all
Oh my god.
What's his name?
UV.
Oh, that's funny, because he needs sunlight.
I didn't even clue into that. But the fact that you just called him, oh my god. I was not expecting that to come out of your mouth. Oh my Christ.
They're all, like, hanging out outside of, like, a convenience store, like, a grocery store in the parking lot, like, on Katie Holmes' truck. Oh, they're trying to get booze. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And a fight breaks out in the store between a preppy kid and, like, an edgy kid. And then Gavin has this theory that there's evil taking over the town, and there's some, like, mind control happening where these, like, bad kids are turned into, like, good and righteous. So this kid that gets beat up in the liquor store, the grocery store or whatever, the next day he comes to school and he's like totally preppy and he's sitting with the Blue Ribbons. They're called the Blue Ribbons, this group of teens who are apparently righteous, even though they're extremely violent. I don't understand that.
They're extremely violent and they're portrayed as what you would imagine in a movie. They're usually the jocks. So they're like, you know, they've got the sideswept hair. And they've got, like, a rugby jacket or very preppy look. And same with the girls. Like, the girls, not necessarily the cheerleaders, but they're just kind of the preppy girls. Because they're not slutty. There's not, they don't have dark makeup on. Like, they're a certain way.
They don't mention religion or anything in this movie. But basically, they want the teenagers of the town to not sin. Like, they don't want them to... drink or do drugs or have sex or do anything like that. They want them to just be like, let's go drink milkshakes at the diner.
Just like the logline says, they want them to be upstanding citizens.
Right.
But however, that's not the case because they're just not that way.
If something goes wrong because they're very violent. But, but so Gavin has this whole theory and he tries to convince Steve by saying like, by showing him like this gathering in like a church of some kind. I think it's a church or some kind of like cathedral theater. And it shows parents signing their kids up for some crazy thing. And then Gavin sees his parents come in and he's like, oh no, right. I'm going to get brainwashed. And he pulls out a gun and he's like, I'm going to shoot everyone because I'm not getting brainwashed. And then Steve is like, okay, you have literally lost your mind. You need to give me that gun. Like, you're a crazy person.
Right.
We should also point out that throughout this movie, there's a janitor that seems to have some intellectual disabilities. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Like,
he's like they see him in the basement almost. Like they run into him in like the scuzzy corridors, back hallways of the school, and like he's very.
Yeah.
Do you know what? He reminded me a lot. I mean, I don't know if anyone's gonna relate to this. I don't know if you remember this at all, but in the 1980 version of It, Beverly's dad is this like scuzzy janitor.
Ooh.
It was very. That's how he reminded me of him.
Okay, well, it says right here, it says, Steve befriends Dorian, the school janitor, who appears to be mentally disabled and hunts rats for the city for some extra cash.
Where did you read that? What is that?
I just read it on Wikipedia.
Oh, I see. It's part of the description or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. I thought you read some random place that, like, describes characters. I was like, the fuck?
So anyways, cut to, guess what? Gavin becomes a blue ribbon. Can you believe it?
Can you believe?
And James Marsden is like, oh my gosh, he was right.
Yep, he was.
And then him and Katie Holmes, at this point, it's like honestly like an hour into the movie. Like there's only like 20 minutes left of the movie and these two haven't even had a hint of romance yet.
And there's other references to like, I mean, there is when he meets Rachel, there's a reference or not a reference, but like the, oh my God. Implication that she's gorgeous obviously, but she, you know, when he meets her it's very like, oh, introduce me to that girl. So there is like an implication of interest, but she also seems to be interested in some preppy guy.
Oh really? I
didn't doesn't she that. Yeah, there were, anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is that you're right, there's no romance between them at this point yet
basically. Basically, the thing that is revealed is that mind control is happening. Steve and Rachel, like, sneak into the hospital where they're like, doing this to the teens.
This was the part, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I would never lie to our listeners. I would never lie to you guys. I lost full interest here. And I was...
Yeah.
I was very...
So did I.
Yeah, okay, good.
So did I. So I'll just sum it up.
Great.
So basically, I don't even know. Rachel and Steve, they try to escape the town and like catch the ferry or something. And while they're driving, they are met on the road with a whole lineup of Blue Ribbon kids that are stopping them. And they're like, oh no, we're gonna die. They're gonna kill us or like brainwash us or whatever. So then, at the last minute, the janitor comes in and he drives through and he has all these radios in the back of his truck and he makes this crazy noise, squeak sound, that makes all of them, like, lose their minds.
Okay.
You look like you're very confused.
And honestly, I feel like maybe I didn't watch it. I'm not lying. I did watch it. But this is all stuff that I'm hearing for the very first time. Okay, keep going. Explain this movie to me, please.
Okay, so then the janitor, like, they all, I'm pretty sure all the blue ribbons, they, like, jump onto his truck. And so then the janitor has no other choice but to drive off a cliff with all the blue ribbons They're all hanging onto his truck, and then they all fall off a cliff and die.
Does the janitor die?
I think so. I believe so. Oh, he sacrificed himself. I know. It's very emotional. And, yeah, then finally Rachel and Steve kiss.
Yeah.
And they start a new life without their parents together. They get on the ferry.
Right. Yeah. Great. And then there's a... it's something like, this town won't be affected by this anymore. But then it goes to this, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, it jumps to the future? That
part? Yeah, but there's a word I'm thinking of. Anyway, yeah. So it jumps to the future, flash forwards or whatever, to a different school of, like, just a bunch. I mean, it's a very quick flashes of this new class. Or this, not new class, but new class to us. And it's just, like, unruly kids. They're all, like, chewing bubble gum, spitting bubble gum,
yeah.
Chewing this and not listening to anybody. And the teacher is saying, or the principal, or whoever the fuck he is like, there's a new student teacher that's coming in today. That's not his accent at all. He does not sound like that. And so you better be good or whatever. And he comes in. And is it Gavin? I was a little confused.
It is Gavin, yes. Okay,
because he looks even preppier than he already did. And I'm like, wow. Anyway, and then it's like continuing. So they're going to like brainwash this school, presumably.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. What a fucking film. I'm sure I would have liked it a lot more if I could have just watched it in one not buffered viewing.
That's debatable.
Oh, okay. Well, then fine. No, I trust you. I trust you. So what would you rate this movie?
I give it a 6.
I'm going to give it a 4. But
okay.
I'm going to give it a 4 mainly because I don't even know what the fuck happened. But I probably wouldn't change my mind anyway.
I'm going to give it a 6 because I didn't like it that much.
Thank you for explaining. I love it. I love it so much. Yeah, so the saddest news on the planet in my world right now is that next week is our last Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Which I'm really upset about. But I'm just loving these scary little things that we're watching. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, so... Do you want to tell us what we're watching next week, or do you want to do crushes and then our...
Yeah. I didn't mean to jump ahead to that. I just was saying that all this general Halloween, scary, spooky things are just making me so happy. But yes, let's talk about our weekly crushes and stuff first.
By the way, for anyone who's wondering, Toronto has officially made Halloween canceled.
Have they actually? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so good. I mean, I'm not happy about it, obviously, but I really think that, like, I'm the fact... Okay, look, this is not news to anybody, but the fact that this fucking COVID shit is still going on is astounding to me, and I'm, like, over it. I mean, I know I'm not the only person in the world who's over it. Obviously, I have also been very lucky with it in terms of I do not know anyone who has passed away, knock on wood. I have not had it. I don't know anyone who's had it, thank God. So not to be like insensitive to those who have experienced loss or anything because of it, but I'm fucking over this. And I want to be able to, you know, do anything in a quote unquote normal way. I don't know if that'll ever happen again, but my point is I'm over.
Have friends over.
Like anything, like without having to, you know, just second guess everything. But anyway, where I'm going with this is we decorated our house for Halloween outside, like the, you know, whatever. And my neighbor said, this was 2 weeks ago. And she said, oh, are you guys giving out candy? And I was like, no, I just am going to fucking decorate because I'm not going to not. And she's like, oh, you might have kids come. And I was like, that's probably true. So I might have to take them down the day before Halloween just to...
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't know.
So when you say Toronto, do you mean the GTA? Like, have you guys canceled it yet?
You'd have to look into it. I think it's like York and like certain areas that are really high in cases. Peterborough, I think we're allowed to go out for Halloween. So I'm trick-or-treating.
I just want Christmas. I just want everything in the future to be normal again. So whatever we have to do that, that's fine with me. As long as we get it done. But whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to rate this movie. I'm going to give it...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it was like 40.
I'm going to say it got... I'm going to say it got a 48.
You're such a copycat.
I probably am wrong. I think it was probably lower, but whatever. 48 is what I say.
34%.
Fuck! Oh, I was gonna fucking go lower. Oh, well. Okay, you win again. Whatever, you little fucking witch. Who's your weekly crush this week? Or what is your weekly crush?
You go first.
My water bottle.
Oh, of course.
I'm not kidding. I was gonna say this. It's this water bottle. It's just, it's so obnoxious. The only thing is the straw part of it is a little bit annoying, but that's okay because I feel so hydrated. I'm so hydrated. I can't even tell you.
That's, you know what, Maddie? That's why at the beginning of this video chat, I said you're glowing.
Because I've drank 2 gallons of water a day. When I bought this water bottle.
That's really good for your skin.
It is. When I brought this water bottle home, Mike looked at it and he's like, you can't drink that because it will kill you. Like, you can't have a certain amount of water or whatever. Anyway, we were like, I mean, he doesn't mean, obviously, this won't kill me, but it's true. A bit more would. But I can never finish an actual gallon. But 1 gallon is like 3.73 liters or some shit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine drinking that much water? I've never been able to finish one in one day. But anyway, what's your crush or who's your crush?
I really should have thought of this beforehand, shouldn't have I? You know what? I'm gonna just go for a totally random one.
Okay.
I'm gonna go for, just because it's kind of a spooky movie, I'm gonna go with, I have a crush on Miss Trunchbull.
What is wrong with you? Oh my god.
I've just been thinking about how good the book and the movie Matilda is, and I just thought, how scary was Miss Trunchbull when you watched it as a kid? She'd throw you into that chokey.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd force you to eat a whole chocolate pie cake.
But the thing is, I'm into the cake, that's fine, but this cake was so nasty.
I know.
It was so nasty. Like, and the lady was like wiping her boogers while she's making it. Ugh. Oh my god. Ugh.
So that's gross. Such a good movie. And then she grabs the little girl by the pigtails and whips her around.
Yes. Yes. So good.
Honestly.
Oh, so good.
Anyways. That's it. So, what are we going to watch next week, Maddie? Our last Halloween movie.
Our last Halloween movie. I just want to glance just to make sure I'm remembering this correctly. Yes, it's the original Carrie.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I'm so fucking excited. I have seen it, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
I concur. I haven't seen it in a really long time, and I cannot wait. I'm going to try and watch it with someone because I'm kind of scared to watch it on my own.
Well, it's from the, 70s, 80s, something like that.
Yeah, those are the scariest ones.
It's definitely scary, but it's not like the, you know, the special effects are all that convincing. But it's still very scary. It's Scary Carrie. I think they call her that in it. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
I feel like they do. I don't know if I just made that up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that rhyme with Carrie, poor girl.
Yeah.
Harry. That's kind of it.
Oh, God. Okay, well, one last reminder to please do 2 things this coming weekend. Somehow find Christmas Unwrapped on being released or being aired, I guess, October 24th. And if you can't catch it this weekend because you're in Canada, you will find it somehow, some way, sometime later. On some streaming device, I'm sure. And also, on Sunday, October 25th, our episode at OCD Podcast with Tess is coming out. So take a look at for that, because I think I've lost my mind in it, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly.
I know, I'm afraid. Okay, Maddie, I want to thank my brothers, Eric and Kevin Smale, for our theme song.
Good, I'm glad you thanked them. And everyone, go check on... What? Hold on. I just... Ah! I think whoever is controlling my body just fucking pressed pause and then like rewind.
Oh my gosh, let me try mind control.
I'm a blue ribbon.
Mind control to Major Tom.
Okay,
I gotta go.
I know. So do I. I'm trying to fucking say our Instagram thing. Go check our Instagram at instagram.com/teenagedirtbagspodcast. I don't know why you would ever go to the web address, but that's what you could do if you wanted. Holy shit. And watch Carrie, the original, before next week, and we'll talk about it together.
Perfect.
Great. Bye, okay. You fucking teenage dirtbags.
Goodbye, you sweet little tinker.
Okay, bye.
Bye.